Did you realize that wasting a little time can actually recharge your brain? Professor Alan Lightman explains why we all need a little unstructured time, something like a mini vacation for our thoughts. That's a bit later in the hour ahead. And Katie Marin tells us how working in her garden has helped to ground her, so to speak. It gave her a sense of where she belongs through the difficulties of the last few years. We're at 877-333-7425. Let's start today's travel with Rick Steves, imagining ourselves in a fragrant wonderland of color. Our British tour guide friends, Tom Hooper, Roy Nichols, and Gillian Chadwick are here to take us into a classic English country garden.
In an English country garden.
La 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 la. La 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 in an English country garden.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I've joined by three married musical guides, and we're talking about English gardens. And English people just break into song at the even mention of an English garden. So Roy Nichols, Gillian Chadwick, Tom Hooper, all musical guides.
Absolutely.
I've never heard you guys sing.
So you can tell.
Musical gardens.
You know, I am not into gardens. If I don't know what the opposite color of a green is, but that's the color
black.
Of my thumb. Black. I've got
black
a
thumb.
Black thumb. But when I'm in Britain, I got to say, I'm really blown away by the gardens. I enjoy them. Hidcote Manor, Bodenham Gardens.
Because, yeah.
Beautiful gardens. What is it that distinguishes an English garden?
I think it's because so many of the continental gardens are so manicured and so organized.
Yeah.
And at the heart of a true English cottage garden is a certain amount of disorganization.
You mean weeds?
Not weeds. Anyway, a weed is just a flower in the wrong place.
Yes.
I think it's that not over-organized, a certain amount of disorganization, a riot of color, not worrying too much about matching colors and everything else like this, throwing all sorts of plants together that normally you wouldn't associate with each other. And it gives that very sort of almost wildness about it. And I think that's at the heart
so
of it.
So there's an intentional roughness.
Yes.
Yes,
yes, definitely.
Yes. So it's not over-manicured, over-organized, yes.
Because when I'm at Beatrix Potter's cottage, it's just a beautiful sort of
yes.
festival of color, but
yeah.
it doesn't
yeah.
seem very well organized.
That would
yeah,
be very
formal.
Typical of a house garden.
And that's yeah. quite deliberate.
Maybe it goes back to the Romantic era when people, well, does it go have any?
Well, I think it has a much longer history than that. Mm-hmm. One thinks about the 18th and 19th centuries, the Romantic movement and the picturesque movement. But that beginnings of English country gardening go back to medieval times.
Where might we see something like that in our travels?
There's a wonderful, I mean, there's the Physic Garden in Chelsea, which is a good mm-hmm. example of
yeah,
one of those early herb gardens. There's the Wealden Downland Museum in Sussex, not far outside of Chichester. This is a recreation of or rebuilding of medieval buildings on a particular site. And they have some wonderful recreations of medieval gardens.
It is quite interesting how when centuries roll by, different influences come into the way you design your garden. So the medieval gardens give way to Tudor gardens. And then when you get to the 18th century, there is this idea, we must control nature. So you have great landscape gardeners like Capability Brown, who at places like Blenheim Palace.
Capability Brown, this is the guy's name.
Yeah.
He's a great
yeah.
landscape
yeah.
architect.
He wasn't christened that.
No.
Sir
okay.
Lancelot.
Sir Lancelot.
And he'd arrive and say, I have the capability.
To do.
Oh, that was his nickname.
Yes.
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 So he was a
yes.
very proud man, a
yeah.
proud
I,
gardener.
I have the capability to turn your estate into the best view in England.
So they called him Capability
yeah.
Brown.
Yes.
What are the top two or three names to remember among landscape architects in Britain?
Le Notre,
that would be
yeah.
a Frenchman.
Yes. Yeah.
Did he have an impact in England?
He came over to landscape Greenwich.
Because yeah. you find his work in the Loire Valley and
yeah.
the chateaus
yeah.
there. Capability Brown.
Gertrude Jekyll.
Jekyll. Yeah.
Sissinghurst, Virginia Woolf.
Vita Sackville West.
West.
But I think the important thing is it tends to be the polite buildings, the large estates, the large country houses mm-hmm. that tend to adopt the continental fashions in gardening, whether it's Italian or French. But it's the English country gardens that remain constant and that sort of naturalness.
English country gardens. What's a good example of that?
Places Sissinghurst in Kent.
Hidcote
yeah.
of it as well.
There's just something intoxicating in the air when the gardens of Britain are in bloom. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're getting tips for enjoying scores of formal, wild, and historic gardens that you can tour in the British Isles. Our guides are Tom Hooper from London, Gillian Chadwick, who lives in nearby Sussex, and Roy Nichols. He makes his home in the English countryside of Devon. And if you were just traveling around Britain, everybody's got this typical itinerary. What are three or four gardens that we should be sure to factor in as we're traveling?
Well, one of my favorites is Bodnant in North Wales, just outside the town of Conwy.
So if you're going to North Wales to see all the castles,
English because it's Wales, but it's one of the great gardens.
Bodnant Gardens. Yeah. And it's got this manor house where you can sit on the back deck and look out at these gardens. Yeah. And then you can hike down. And I believe there's even sort of a mystical forest you walk, little valley. And it's just a nice little hike even.
Yeah.
Gorgeous thing. Gillian?
I live in Sussex, and that's very near Kent. So these are the two gardens of England, basically. So there are dozens of beautiful gardens. Nyman's, Leonardsley, Wakehurst Place.
Where is this relative to London?
South of London, about 20, 30 miles.
So within an hour, you could get to some of these gardens from London. This is, of course, not England. It's Ireland. But I was really impressed at Powers Court Garden, if you're going to be in Dublin. Roy, you've had groups in Powers Court.
Yes, south of Dublin, in the Wicklow Mountains, a gorgeous garden based around an old, ruined 18th-century manor house.
A lot of these gardens are based around some historic manor house.
Yeah, I come from Cornwall, which is a milder place than most of the rest of the country. So there are some fantastic gardens down there. Cotteal is another manor house where they have gardens.
So when you see the manor houses, remember, a lot of manor houses may not have a famous garden, but they've got a garden, they might have a labyrinth, and they've got some fun out in
And Llanhydrock, which I think is just in Devon, I think, is it?
I don't think so. Oh, I think it's near Bodmin in Cornwall. Like many of the fine things that come from...
okay, boys. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are debating gardens in England, and there are a lot of gardens to enjoy. What about just at Kew Gardens? I mean, that's probably the most famous opportunity.
How could we forget?
Roy, what's Kew Gardens?
It's the main sort of headquarters and gardens of the Royal Horticultural Society.
Botanical
Society.
Uh-huh. And it's got this industrial age iron and glass structure, which is quite striking on
those
its own.
Those great greenhouses of the 19th century, which could be really large and elaborate, it's an ultimate one in Kew.
Oh, and it's like going to the jungle in London.
It is.
But all country houses would have had them on a large or small scale, growing exotic things like oranges and pineapples
and that must
for
have
the country
been a big
house.
Deal in the 19th century to grow this sort of thing.
And pineapples are so expensive, you could rent them for the evening and return them the next day.
Rent? Only in Britain can you rent a pineapple. That's pretty good. Now, is it my imagination or does Anne Hathaway's cottage up in Shakespeare's
House? Oh, yes.
It's a gorgeous...
Yes,
that really... I just thought it
the
was
epitome.
Like an explosion of color.
Yeah.
And also a classic English garden because it seemed intentionally messy.
And set against the beautiful outside of the...
With the thatches
cottage,
coming
the thatch,
down. It's like the thatches are like bangs on a hairdo.
And I think that is the quintessential view of so many people's view of England. That sort of old thatch building, timber framed, with these riotous gardens with all this colour.
Oh, it is nice. Now, something a little more formal would be rose gardens. And in my travels, I've bumped into rose gardens around Britain. Where are some rose gardens you would pick? Hampton Court.
Hampton Court's got the most glorious gardens.
Don't miss the rose garden there. Yeah. There's a rose garden right in Hyde Park.
In Regent's Park.
Near
Baker Street.
Okay.
And Warwick Castle has got a superb rose garden.
And you miss it. You're making a beeline for the castle, and then there's a little path through the hedge, and you've got this glorious rose garden.
Yeah, it's a super place.
So rose gardens, pay attention to that. And labyrinths.
Labyrinths are quite fashionable now.
Yeah.
Mazes. That's right.
Hampton Court,
maybe the most famous Hampton Court.
Leeds Castle has a very
And there's a very up-and-coming one at Blenheim Palace as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking gardens with three people very enthusiastic about English gardens. Give me a little rendition of your favorite tune, please. Roy, Gillian, and Tom.
La 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 in an English country garden.
This is such an inspiration. I'm going to England. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to a garden. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Elise is on the phone from Nevada City in California. Elise, thanks for your call.
Sure, hi.
Hi, do you have a comment or a song for our guides?
A comment. One of the less of a formal garden was Henry Moore's home. What really impressed me was his acreage of this rolling hills and grass, and sitting among these 70 acres are these massive stone and bronze statues. Just, they were absolutely exquisite to just touch them and walk around and be among his work. I believe it's the largest collection.
This is Henry Moore's home, actually.
Yes, Hoglands is the name of his home, which kind of attracted me to the whole idea of, well, go see what Hoglands is.
Where is this from in relation to other places we might go, Roy?
It's in Kent?
Hertfordshire?
Hertfordshire.
So find Henry Moore's home, and you've got a chance to mix the gardens and his beautiful sculpture.
Yes, it was quite impressive.
And Elise, his garden is just littered with these beautiful Henry Moore statues, the minimalist modern statues.
And quite deliberately, Moore placed some of the statues in sheep pastures. Yes. So you get all the sheep wandering around these incredible pieces of artwork.
Nice. Elise, thanks for your call.
Sure, thank you.
Tom Hooper, Gillian Chadwick, and Roy Nichols, thanks so much for getting us a little inspired for English gardens. Just to sum it up, what's one more tip you would give to our listeners who are planning a trip to England and might want to enjoy the gardens to the most? Gillian.
If you can travel in May, it's my favourite time with all the blossoms. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to be in Wales, Bodmin Garden has the most fabulous Laburnum Arch where you walk about 100 yards and it's like bells of yellow flowers dropping down on you.
Tom Hooper.
If you're in the Lake District and you're interested in Wordsworth, people go to Dove Cottage, but don't forget to go to Rydal Mount where he spent most of his time.
That was after he had some money and he moved into a fancy manor house.
Yeah. And there are some fantastic gardens there, and it's not far from where he wandered lonely as a cloud and saw the daffodils.
Mm. Right.
There's an organisation called the National Garden Scheme, which brings together private gardens and private gardeners. And one or two days a year, usually sort of June time, at the height of the garden season, they open these private gardens, gardens that are normally closed off to the public. You get the chance, sometimes for a small fee, to see these wonderful gardens.
Gillian, Tom and Roy, thank you so much. And my black thumb has just got a little more appreciation of green.
Thank you, Rick.
Again. Okay, bye now. If you need permission to just goof off a little each day, Alan Lightman joins us in a bit to explore how some unstructured time is actually good for your brain. But first, it took a while for a New York City girl, Katie Marin, to feel at home in the countryside of Connecticut. Getting her hands dirty and developing a garden out back has turned out to be just the thing to get through trying times. She explains the benefits of becoming a gardener. Next on Travel with Rick Steves.